The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
In the middle of Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Pei, Ketzas Mi Melachos HaAsuris B'Shabbos, some of the malachas, the forbidden activities that may not be performed on Shabbos. We're up to Sif Chav Zayin. Kol davar she'Yisrael asur la'asayisai, anything which a Jew is not permitted to do. Also, gam kein, the outcome is also forbidden to have a non-Jew perform that activity for you. You can't ask a non-Jew to perform that activity on your behalf. Even though that is the general rule. B'me'ah chayiv, during the wintertime, since it is permitted for the non-Jew to light the fire in the oven, in order to heat up the house, like the akum, through the non-Jew, like the kids are going to teach us later on, that in the case where it's very cold, so the people in the house are treated as chaylim, as sick people, and the rule is that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to perform any forbidden act on behalf of somebody who's considered a chayla, considered a sick person, the definition of which will be discussed elsewhere. So therefore, the non-Jew is allowed to, you're allowed to ask him to heat up the house, to turn on the oven in order to heat the house. So when the non-Jew is going to turn the oven on, again, the custom is, that the non-Jew puts the food, the cooked food, as we instruct the non-Jew to put the cooked food, since Tanenu, that have already cooled off since the night before, Tanenu puts them on the oven, Kaidem Shuhu Mesika, before he lights the fire. And we have a Kach Mesika, and afterwards he lights the fire, and then not only the house gets warm, but the food also gets warmed up. The Kaidem Shuhu Kavanu Ba'asaka Zayis Lecharim Mesatashilin. Since the intent of the non-Jew in this heating up the oven is not to cook the food, it's not his main intent. Rather, his main intent is to heat up the house, because this is the heater, and the way the heating worked in those days, they had some specific oven that was intended to provide heat for the house. This is not the same as the oven they regularly cooked on. This is a separate oven. And when they heated that oven, so there was already a pot of food on it. So the intent, the main intent of the non-Jew who's putting the food on the fire is not to heat up the food, the intent of the non-Jew who's heating up the oven is not to heat the food which is on the oven, but rather it is to heat up the house, and therefore it's okay. As he explains, so Yishmatir, so therefore there are those who permit it. The dafka, however, is specifically and only shi'amidim kredim ha'asaka, that the non-Jew puts on the food before he lights up the oven, he heats up the oven, and afterwards, because once the oven is already heated up, and then he goes to put the pot on the fire, so it's like instructing him to heat the food up, which is forbidden. So only this, the pot is put on the oven before it is heated up, so right now nothing, you're not doing anything. Only then do we say that when the non-Jew heats up the oven, so then his main intent is to heat the house, and the rest of it comes along, and it's okay. Additionally, a Jew should not be the one to put the food onto the oven, rather it should be, because then he'll be indirectly causing the food to get cooked after the non-Jew turns on the fire. So therefore, we should have a non-Jew place the food on the oven, and then light the fire in the oven. Upshita, and it's simple and obvious, if the main intent of the non-Jew in lighting the fire in this oven, in the stove, is not in order to heat the house, rather it's in order to warm up the food, it's certainly forbidden under all circumstances, because that's a regular case when you're telling the non-Jew to do something forbidden. You're telling him to heat the food, which is not allowed. And he is Isim, but however, there are those who are strict, and they forbid this entire, we'll call it trick, this entire activity. Even when the main intent of the non-Jew is in order to heat up the house, they still say it is forbidden to have the pots on the stove beforehand. The afal pisha haminah cannot turn, even though the general custom is, unlike those who permit it, mikol makim, still kol bal nefesh, every person who wants to be strict and scrupulous in his performance of the mitzvah, yesh lo hachmir, he should be strict about this matter. Alatzmi should be strict about this matter for himself. There's no great necessity. It's not a problem. You're not going to have any food for Shabbos or the like. The regular case, you just want something extra, extra cooked food that you already have. One half food, you had the main meal you already have. You want something extra, something additional. So the kids are saying it's not the proper way to act would be to be strict about this, even though the custom is to be lenient and it is technically permitted. When we call again, and certainly, the ice and tanuri and barzal, these metal ovens, hasui and levash lamay and tamid, they're made to cook on them always. Aval pishim asik and vehem b'shavis, we light them on Shabbos, l'tzoyach chim l'abayis, in order to heat up the house, for the needs of the heat of the house. V'gav ha'akam ma'amin olavet et ha'ashu and kredem ha'asaka, and the non-Jew is the one to put the food on the fire, to put the food on the oven before lighting the fire. Mikomakim still Hayori as Hashem. Yunim is the one who fears Hashem, who fears God, will hold himself back from doing this, because since this oven is the regular oven you cook in this oven throughout the week, so it's much harder to say that the non-Jew, when he lights the fire, is only intending to heat the house. He's not intending to cook the food, because this is the normal activity. The normal way and method of using this oven is that you put food on and you cook the food. And therefore, the non-Jew heats the oven, if there's food on it, his intent is fairly certain that his intent is not only to heat the house, but also to equally cook the food, and that would be forbidden. And while the kitzur sound like it's not absolutely 1,000% forbidden, the Mishnah Berurah is much more, he's very upset at somebody who relies on leniency in a situation where the oven is intended for cooking also. It seems it's absolutely forbidden. There's no room to be lenient on this matter. Sif Chavches. Hashayfich mashkin b'makim sh'akarkim atzmachas. If a person pours water, or liquid actually, in a place where the ground produces growth, and things growing in the ground, Chayiv mishan zerveah, is obligated, is liable for the malacha of zerveah, of planting, of sowing seeds. Sh'hareha mashke g'rim sh'titzmach akarka, the liquid causes that the ground should grow, that the seeds in the ground or the plants that are already in the ground, the grass that's there, should grow further. And helping something to grow is a derivation of the malacha of zerveah, of planting, and therefore forbidden by Torah law. The alkanon, therefore, usually zar, a person should be extra careful, or he should be careful. And the alacha beginning, you should not eat in the garden. Don't have a picnic outside on Shabbos. Kibakushi, because only with great difficulty, are you able to be careful? To make sure that liquid doesn't spill on the ground. If you're drinking, you have liquids outside, it's very likely that some are going to spill on the ground, and if they do, you'll be liable for zerveah, for planting, and therefore it's better not to eat outside at all. And besides this, their garden has a problem. It's forbidden to carry in the garden, to move items in the garden, and this we discuss later on. Soon to give more details about this. Not every garden has this problem. Some gardens have an issue that you're not allowed to carry in the garden, and therefore you should be careful. Now, there is a disagreement among the Paiskim. What if there's absolutely nothing growing on the ground right now? The implication of the Kitzur is that you're only liable for watering the ground if there is something in the ground which is going to grow. There are seeds, there are plants. Because he's talking about the malacha zerveah, the prohibition against planting. However, there are those who say that any time you water the ground, you are softening the ground and making it easier to plant subsequently. And that is a malacha of chayrish, the malacha of plowing, that one prepares the ground for planting. And even though there's no plants there right now, you're still not allowed to do it. It's also forbidden by Torah law. And it seems that one should be strict on this matter, and not pour liquids even onto ground which has nothing growing, since that causes the ground to be easier to plant, to be ready and available for planting, that would be the melacha of chayrish, of plowing. Sif chafes, sifug, a sponge, she'en lo'y beis achiza, does not have a handle, ein mekanchen lo'y minat, clean within. We're talking about a wet sponge, and the problem is that if you hold a wet sponge in your hand, it's almost impossible. It's impossible to not squeeze any water out, and squeezing water out is a problem which we call schita, the malacha of schita, of squeezing, which is a derivative of the malacha of cleansing, or mefarik, or dosh, of extracting one thing from another. And therefore, you're not allowed to hold the sponge, which is saturated with water, because you're almost definitely going to squeeze out the water. If, however, it has a handle, so then you're not holding the sponge directly, so then it's not considered a secretion. It's not guaranteed that you're going to squeeze out water. Obviously, if you press on the surface you're trying to clean, you'll definitely squeeze out water. If you don't press, and you're careful, you do your best not to squeeze out any water, then it'll be okay, even if water ends up getting squeezed out. It's a dovish inner miscavi, something you did not intend, and would be permitted. Now, a dry sponge, Mr. Brewer brings a difference of opinion. Do we say that even a dry sponge is forbidden to hold in your hand and to clean with? That we would be worried maybe a person will come to hold a wet sponge and clean with it. And the Shur brings down a difference of opinion in that regard. Sif Lamed. Also in Lorik, the Makim Shal Ruach Yefazer Sarayk, it's forbidden to spit into the wind in a place where the wind is going to scatter the saliva into little droplets of water. And that's forbidden. The reason it's forbidden is because it's similar to the malacha of winnowing, that you take the grain, you throw it up in the air, and the wind blows away the chaff. So to here, when you spit into the wind scatters the saliva. That would be similar to the malacha of winnowing. That is Zayra, Zayin Vav Resh Hay, which is winnowing. However, this is a very difficult halacha to understand. Many places can disagree with it, and they say that this is not in the slightest bit similar to winnowing. And they permit it, and the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah seems to be that it is permitted. Certainly, if you don't intend for this to happen, certainly Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to, there's no room at all to be strict about it. But certainly, the implication of the Mishnah Berurah is that if you do intend it, he feels that the main opinion is not the ketzer, rather that it is permitted. Sif Lamed Aleph. Besula, an unmarried girl whose hair is uncovered, and therefore she would want to braid her hair, Asura L'Kleya Sarah says she's not allowed to braid her hair. Mishabbos on Shabbos. Now, a married lady is also not allowed to braid her hair, however, less likely to want to do it, so we don't have to talk about it. But it's forbidden to braid hair on Shabbos. However, had to kliyasa, not to undo a braid. And this is because the Gemara teaches us that it's similar to binyan, it's similar to building. The verse refers to braiding the hair as building. It says, Vayivinus Hatzema, the Pasuk says in Bereshis. The verse says in Bereshis, when it's talking about the creation of Chava, the creation of Eve, that Vayivinus Hatzema, that Hashem literally built the side or the rib of Adam into a woman, and the word binyan in that context is, first of all, it's the word being used in reference to a person. Not only that, the Talmud teaches us that there's a hint in the verse that Hashem braided, he made some kind of hairdo for Chava before presenting her to Adam, and the word is that's used in the pasuk in the verse is binyan, to refer to creating a hairdo, to braiding the hair. And therefore, it's forbidden to braid the hair on Shabbos. Well, most places can seem to assume that it's drabbanan, rabbinically forbidden, but there's a hint in this verse. Therefore, one is not allowed to braid hair or to remove the braid, because that would be the malach of demolishing, or similar to the malach of demolishing. Anything which is forbidden to build, one is not allowed to demolish on Shabbos. Aval. But as an aside, the Kitzur did not talk about it. A wig would also be a problem to braid the hair, not because of binyan, but because of the malach of weaving. then you take threads and you weave them together, that's a problem also on Shabbos, and therefore one should not weave either actual human hair that's connected to the hair, the head, or a wig, even though it's not binyan, but it's a melacha of oirig, which is weaving. However, it continues the kitzer, avo yechelam lestakin sarasev, you're allowed to fix her hair, she's allowed to fix her hair with her hands. Certainly she could gather the hair together and put it in some kind of ponytail or put a headband in or something like that, as long as she doesn't braid the hair. A brush which is made, where the bristles are made from hog's hair, or really any bristles, doesn't make a difference what they're made out of. If it's very stiff, the bristles are stiff, it's impossible that to brush the hair at all without pulling out hairs, and certainly a comb is like that. So a comb, or even a brush, but it's very stiff bristles, also listed, but you're not allowed to comb the hair in any fashion with such a type of brush, because you're going to pull out hair, which is a malacha of gaizes, or shearing, which is pulling out, removing hair from an animal. So to pulling out hair from a human would be the malacha of gaizes, or shearing. If the bristles are not hard, they're not stiff, Muteres was sakin, but as I said, she's allowed to fix her hair, which doesn't mean to brush them fully, because brushing hair, even with soft bristles, if they accomplish anything as far as brushing, they will almost for sure pull out some hair, and therefore it is forbidden. However, she's allowed to sort of pat the hair down, straighten the hair out a little bit, as long as she doesn't actually brush her hair. And then Mishnah Brura adds, Mikoshkin, and Himi Yachadis, I still attack if she, the Mikitzer says, if she designated this brush for this purpose, then it will be permitted, and the Mishnah Brura really words this, that she is supposed to have a specific brush for Shabbos, because otherwise it's like uvda dechol, it's like a weekday type of activity to brush the hair. Since generally brushing the hair is something which is forbidden on Shabbos, so even if you do it with in a manner which is permissible, it's like a weekday activity which is not appropriate in Shabbos, if we should have a specific Shabbos brush, and it's just soft bristles, and then you're allowed, well, not to brush the hair, at least to somewhat pat the hair down and straighten the hair out without actually brushing it. Sif lamed beis. Beged ukiyotzi by a garment or anything similar, type of fabric. Shiyesh v'lav ezen lichlach, it has some type of dirt on it, kind of muddy or something, any type of dirt. Mekanachoy v'smata, you can wipe off the dirt, the surface dirt, with a shmata, some type of cleansing cloth, ukiyotzi by anything similar. Use whatever you want to wipe it off. But you may not pour water onto the garment, even though you're not even going to rub the garment at all. You're just going to pour water on it. It's still forbidden. Because the place, pouring water onto the garment is similar to laundering, or it is laundering. That's the first stage in the laundering process, which is putting water. The Talmud teaches us that shriyasa zeh kibusa, soaking the garment, soaking a fabric, that itself constitutes washing the fabric, and therefore over here, just by putting water on it, that already is considered washing, and it is forbidden. The lachen, and therefore, imtina hishtin aleza beged, if a child urinated on some type of garment, also in lishbe cholav mayim, you're not allowed to pour water onto it, to be a, and the reason one might be extra concerned in this case is because one, you would not be allowed to daven or to say blessings in front of his garment, because it has the urine absorbed in it. Still, one is not, if one were to pour water on it, that would nullify the miragliam, and it would be okay. The urine, and that would be fine. You would then be allowed to pray. However, in this case, you're stuck. Since it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour water on it. But if the child urinated on the ground, it creates ayor on a wooden vessel or a leather utensil, a leather garment or object, you're allowed to pour water there, because laundering does not apply at all to wooden utensils. And even to leather, we don't say shriyasa zeh kibusa. So if it's soft leather, it is possible to violate the prohibition against laundering if you rub the leather together in order to cleanse it. But just to get the leather wet, it's not like fabric which absorbs the water. Leather doesn't absorb the water, and therefore there's no problem. You're only allowed to pour water onto it and wash away the dirt that is on top of the leather or the wooden object. Continues the Ketzer, Kishah Adam, Neitel Yadav, when a person washes his hands, the Reitzel and Nagav of the map, and he wants to dry them in some kind of towel or cloth, some kind of cloth, Taiv, it's a good thing, l'shavshef and hetev, to rub your hands together first, beforehand, zu v'zu, one against the other. L'hasir amayim, to remove as much water as you can before you start drying your hands. Kedei, in order, shun lo yishor aleim rak ma'amayim, should only be a very small amount of water left on your hands. Tibim at mayim, though with only a little bit of water, shun minagim, that you dry your hands, kevin shu derech lichlach, since it is in a manner of getting the garment dirty. You're not putting the water on the garment in a way in which it cleanses the garment. Just the opposite. You just wash your hands, and if anything, when you dry your hands on the towel, you're getting the towel dirty. So therefore, le'avikivas, it's not considered laundry. And the truth is that this whole concept is really a stringency. That's why the kisser says it's tayv. It's a good thing to do, because really the other opinions, the majority opinion is that if you get the water on the garment in a manner which derech lichloch, it's in a manner which dirties the garment, as opposed to a manner which is intended to cleanse, so it's not a problem of kibbutz, it's not a problem of laundering. Therefore, according to those opinions, you don't have to be careful to shake off the excess water from your, or to rub off the excess water from your hands, because even though you'll get the cloth dirty, the towel dirty, that derech lichloch is in a manner which dirties a towel, and it's not a problem of kibbutz, but it's a good thing to be strict and to try to fulfill all opinions, and therefore to try and get as much water as you can off of your hands. And when it's very little water, even all opinions agree that it's permitted to dry your hands in a towel. But the mapa tzavua, and if it's a colored towel, ein lachash b'cholin, you don't have to worry about it in any case. Because the concept of laundering doesn't apply so much to a colored towel. White garments need more laundering. They require more cleansing. Colored garments don't require as much cleansing. And therefore, you have to be so strict that getting the water from your hands on the colored garment is not considered cleansing at all, and it will be permissible. Sif Lam and Gimel. Chavish Yishba Mayim. If you have a barrel that has water in it, or anything other than liquid, similar type of liquid. Also, in lifrits and le'a beged, you're not allowed to cover it, to spread out a garment on top of the barrel instead of a cover. And it's an uncovered barrel, open barrel, and there's liquid in the barrel. You may not spread a cloth or a garment over that barrel. Sh'ena miyuchan la, any cloth other than the cloth which is designated to cover the barrel. Sorry, she'ena miyuchan la l'chasaisa b'ay, it's not designated to cover the barrel with it. The chashin, because we are worried, maybe it will come to squeeze it out. If you take a non-designated garment, something which is not intended to be the normal barrel cover, so it's not supposed to get wet. And if it does end up getting wet, then you may come to squeeze it out because you don't want the garment or the cloth to be wet. As opposed to the cloth which is designated as the cover of the barrel, you expect it's going to get wet and you're not going to come to squeeze it out. That's what the kitzur continues to say. I will beg it. Hamayuchan lo, but a garment which is designated for the barrel cover, mutal chasayis, you'll have to cover the barrel. The kevan, the mayuchan lo, since it is designated for this purpose, lo chashin shishchay, we're not worried you're going to squeeze out. And just to explain, squeezing out is, as we mentioned before, is a derivative of the malacha, is a part of the malacha of laundering. That's part of the laundering process. You squeeze out the water, and therefore it is forbidden. If water spilled on the table or something anywhere else, really, anything similar, any place similar, or not just water, but any other liquid. Also, you're not allowed to wipe up the spill with a garment, a fabric, that you are careful about it, that you don't want that fabric to be wet. Since there's a significant amount of water, there's a lot of water, we're worried, maybe you'll squeeze out the garment. As I said before, squeezing out a garment from liquid is a problem of laundering. The chemo yinagi the mapa kaisais, you're not allowed to dry with a towel cups, a shaykel, or other utensils should be inside of a very narrow opening. The machmas dachkan, because of the pressure when you pull out the towel, or you squeeze the towel in, nischadamashka, the liquid will become squeezed out, and it's a problem. Now, it's obviously talking about a case where there's a significant amount of liquid in it. If there's still a little liquid in that the towel, or a very absorbent towel, a regular dish towel, that there's not going to be enough liquid to be squeezed out. It won't be physically possible for the liquid to be squeezed out. There's certainly no problem. And the Mishavura, in the Bialach, he says that if, as long as you don't want the towel to be squeezed out, you couldn't care less if the towel is squeezed out. He's telling you there is a decent amount of water there. as long as there's not too much water, you could dry it and hope, as long as it's not guaranteed it's going to get squeezed out. As I'm pointing out, that most of the time, I think in a modern-day scenario, in a modern-day kitchen, we have enough dish towels, we don't need a dish towel to the point where it's so saturated that when you that just a little bit of pressure will squeeze that water, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem at all because it's impossible. The water is not going to get squeezed out. You don't have enough water to squeeze out. Sif Mamed Hei. If a person was walking, the yard of Yishtam Melav and rain fell upon him, and on his clothes, Mutter and Melech, basically, he's allowed to continue walking and walk to his house when that way he's going to squeeze out the water. But when he removes his garments, also now to spread them out in order for them to dry, because if you spread them out in the way that a person would normally spread out his laundry to dry, people will think that maybe he washed his clothing. It's what we call marasai, and it gives the appearance of doing something forbidden. And therefore, it may not be done, even in the basement, in the laundry room, where no one could see. The rule is that that which is forbidden because of marasai, because people might see and think you're doing something forbidden, is also to do even in behind closed doors, and therefore, even in the laundry room, you would not be allowed to hang up these garments to dry. If they're wet only because of sweat, also with shatchan, you're not allowed to spread them out, again, because someone may not realize why it's wet. He sees it's wet, he'll think you washed them on Shabbos, and that is forbidden. The koshkin, also with shatchan, negative, certainly you're not allowed to spread them out near the fire. That's a separate problem, that you are cooking the water in the garment, and that you're also bleaching the garment, because heating the water out, cooking the water out of the garment also bleaches it, so it's two problems, one of bishul, of cooking, and one of melabdin, which is laundering or bleaching. Even if you are wearing your garments, which we said before, you're allowed to walk around in the wet garments, still, also you're not allowed to stand near the fire, in place where it's very hot, and it could cause the water to become hot to the point of to the point where it's hot to the touch, and that would be cooking the water, and that's forbidden. You're also not allowed to shake out the garment from water, because that's like squeezing the garment, which we said before is a problem of laundering. And a garment which bothers you that it is wet, also I feel a tattoo, you're not even allowed to move in after you have taken it off your body. You were worried you may come to squeeze it. So if it's your shirt, your suit, something which you don't want to be wet, will be forbidden, as opposed to a towel or something where it doesn't bother you that it's wet, and we're not worried you're going to come to squeeze it.